Welcome to Decide to Transform. You made it to level 2, deeper questions leading to deeper answers. I'm Tomas Garza, and I'm here to help you decide to transform. I'll be setting the pace for the process to support your unfolding. Learn and commit to a practice that brings simplicity and awareness of what is ready to be released. Join me now and allow the experience of a deeper sense of love. Welcome to Decide to Transform. I am so happy that you're joining me. I am your host, Tomas Garza, and we've got a wonderful show in store for you today. So wherever you are listening from, anywhere in the world, thank you for tuning in, and let me tell you what we've got in store for you today. We are continuing with March's mini-series, Transformation 101. And in the last couple of weeks, we have looked at some very basic and very, very helpful concepts for people that are looking to make life transitions, specifically in the arena of spiritual growth, because all transformation work starts within yourself. It's all an inside job, 100% without exception. Even a physical move or a physical activity, such as getting in shape or getting healthy or losing weight, begins with a decision to do it. That all takes place in the mind, and these concepts that we are going through during the month of March here on the show are very foundational. And in the past 2 weeks, we have looked at the choice, the decision that we all must make moment to moment between love and fear, and the fact that all of the grades of emotions, the whole range of our emotional experience, can really boil down to which of those two emotions we're choosing at any given moment, love or fear. And that was 2 weeks ago. And this is a show that is archived, and you can listen to that anywhere you listen to podcasts. And last week, we took a look at the ego and how that psychological construct gets in our way. We looked at the sense of separation that we feel as human beings. In other words, if you haven't listened to that show or you're not familiar with the concept, what I refer to here is our sense of a separate self. In other words, that we inhabit the physical body relative to other physical bodies that are separate from us, and we seem to, essentially, go about our own life, and often, unfortunately, acting in our own self-interest, and not a healthy self-interest most of the time. This may be a concept that you're familiar with from Eastern philosophy, if you are familiar with that, and also from traditions that are based on more Western philosophy. A Course in Miracles, for example, is a spiritual text that refers to the ego quite a lot, just like Eastern philosophy. And that was last week's show, which you can, again, listen to anywhere that you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, any place. Where we're going this week is we're going to talk about another transformative and very helpful concept that helps people to put spiritual growth and practice into perspective. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that oftentimes when we think about doing the inner work, people are frequently intimidated because they don't understand the terminology, or it doesn't make sense to them, or it seems too remote, too esoteric, too far out there. You name the adjective. Sometimes people use this as an excuse not to do the inner work. And we all have most likely at one time or another fallen into that trap ourselves. But it's very helpful for people to have some of these ideas, a clearer idea about what is meant by all of this. Because these concepts, like the ego, like choosing between love and fear, and today's topic, the two truths, being absolute and relative truth, all of these concepts are directly relevant to human beings wherever you are in the 21st century. These are directly relevant because people still need to do the inner work. They needed to do it centuries ago, they needed to do it yesterday, and we all need to do it right now. The reason that we're reviewing these subjects, such as the ego, the two truths, love or fear, and even next week's subject, our limiting stories, the reason that we're reviewing these is because people often refuse to do the inner work. We frankly refuse the call. Everybody hears the call to do the inner work, to live your purpose, to step up and serve, but so few actually answer that. Now, why is that? Well, there seem to be a lot of reasons. Fear is the main reason, and fear of change, fear of doing something differently. Next week, we'll look at a list of our limiting stories that we tell ourselves, and those are, in fact, quite numerous. When you hear that next week, you'll be very, very surprised at how you are using some of those in your own life, because we all are at one time or another. But we're reviewing these concepts specifically because we don't do the inner work. And an understanding of the terminology and the way all of this actually functions, experientially functions in a person's life is very helpful. These are very helpful tools. And of course, it's not enough simply to have the knowledge. One must actually do the work. And that is where all of the action lies. It's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, all of that. But that's the reason why we're reviewing these. So what I want to do today is I want to present a metaphor, a situation, and an analogy for spiritual growth in general. This is directly out of my book, Decide, How to Replace Your Fictions with Truth, Go Big in Life, and Transform Audaciously, from 2019. I'm getting, incidentally, all of March's concepts from chapters 2 through 5 of the book, and what I'm about to talk about here, this metaphor of the bridge, is chapter 1. So what I want to invite you to do is think of spiritual growth, personal transformation. I'm mostly going to use the term spiritual growth on this show, because all personal transformation has a spiritual component, whether people would care to think of it that way or not. It does. We're talking about who we really are here and how do we access that and how do we bring that forward to effect change in our lives and in the lives of those closest to us and, of course, then in humanity in general, the whole world. So let's think of someone who stays on the couch in your house, and let's think of your current situation as you at home on the couch, and you want to, deep down, get up, go out the door, and take a walk all the way to a chasm where you'll be faced with a cliff. And on the other side of the cliff, on the other side of this deep ravine, are people living their purpose. They are happy. They are joyful. They are laughing. They have the abundance that you desire. They have the personal relationships that you may desire, the financial abundance and wealth that you may desire, the purposeful career. In other words, they're living their best lives, their highest best lives. And this is an analogy that I use in the book itself. So suppose that you want to cross this deep ravine and get to the other side. Now, for most people, they're afraid that in order to try to get there, they're going to have to jump and risk falling, risk destroying yourself on the rocks below. And what's down there, you don't know. There could be crocodiles, there could be boulders, giant fish, who knows, right? People are afraid. And imagine that rather, imagine actually, I invite you to picture that there's a bridge from where you are currently to where you would like to be. There's a bridge for you to cross, and it is not a wooden plank with no handrails. It's not a rickety rope bridge that looks like it might fall apart as it sways in the wind. It doesn't look like it will support your weight. Rather than that, there is a modern suspension bridge, structurally sound, everything, for you to simply walk toward and walk across to the other side, to where you want to go, wherever that is for you. What do you want? What is your desire right now? And what happens is that despite the modern suspension bridge, despite the ease of the pathway to the other side, people refuse the call. People want change in life, and yet they don't move. And sometimes people are still at home, and they're still on the couch watching the same television program over and over again, watching the same cable news station over and over again, and feeding your own anxieties, your own mass hysteria, your own sense of helplessness, perhaps. And it's only natural in a situation like that, that's repetitive and repetitive and repetitive, that people want to experience something else. We all want to, we long to, it's a yearning. We all want to experience something else, and people are stuck. They keep themselves stuck watching the same program over and over again. This is a metaphor, it's an example that I use for people's inaction in the face of their own personal desire to change and in the face of all of the available mechanisms to do that. In other words, let's just say, for the sake of example, that a person sitting on the couch is perfectly physically healthy. They possess the means to turn off the television. They have a thumb that can push the off button on the remote. Turn that off. They can stand up, put on a jacket if necessary, put on shoes if necessary, and walk out the door toward the bridge. Yet they refuse to do it. So there are limiting stories that people tell themselves that keep them on the couch. And there are stories that stop people when they are getting ready to leave the house. They may leave, you may leave the house and start walking toward the ledge, and you may turn back. You may reach the ledge and turn back, and you may even take a look at the bridge and start to cross the bridge and turn around midstream and come back. These are all limiting stories that cause us to turn back or cause us not to take action, and they are directly related to the ego, as we talked about last week on the show. These are direct manifestations fear, a fear of change, and fear of your highest self, fear of your highest best self and your own brilliance, your own radiance, indeed your own divinity, symbolized by the other side of the bridge. Now, this is direct from chapter 1 of Decide. If you have not purchased the book, it's available on ebook and paperback, and the title again, Decide: How to Replace Your Fictions with Truth, Go Big in Life, and Transform Audaciously. So the point of bringing up the picture of the bridge is that people seek to solve problems with the same mindset that created them. Everyone does this. Don't feel singled out. This applies to every single living, breathing human being in the world. We collectively seek to solve problems with the same mindset that created them in the first place. And we seek to solve them in the same place that created them, which could be a no-end job. It could be a no-end relationship, an unhappy relationship, even unfortunately sometimes an abusive relationship. People run around seeking to solve problems with the same mindset that created the problem in the first place. And we must, as an absolutely 100% must, look elsewhere for change. So what does that look like? Well, in the book, I go on to explain that in some detail. On the show today, what we're going to do is, as I mentioned before, we are going to talk about the fundamental spiritual concept of the two truths, those being absolute truth and relative truth, and we'll tie in how this fits with someone's journey, with your journey, perhaps, your spiritual growth and your own personal transformation, which sounds like a really big deal. It sounds very, very inaccessible sometimes, but the reality is growth and transformation happen one moment at a time, and very small steps can lead to very large results if you stick with it. All of this may sound obvious. In fact, every single thing that I say on the show may sound obvious to you, but it is worth repeating because as human beings, especially as adult learners, we need to hear everything 50 times at least, don't we? Sometimes more until it finally sinks in. So we will talk about absolute and relative truth and how they play with each other on the other side of the break. So you're listening to Decide to Transform here on Om Times Radio. Stick with us and we'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, author of Decide and host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. I want to ask you, if you want something in life, have you decided on it? If not, you'll listen to a limiting story about yourself. You will say you can't, you're too old, too young, etc. Decide to transform in life. Learn what you can choose to believe instead of your limiting stories. Decide. Available now in paperback and ebook.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is gonna help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and you're listening to Om Times Radio. We are talking today about Transformation 101, the two truths being absolute and relative truth. And before the break, we took a look at a metaphor that I like to use for personal transformation and spiritual growth in general, of a person who wants to change around their current life and get up and cross the bridge, metaphorical bridge, to the other side of what seems like a chasm, to what they want, whether it is abundance in the sense of finances or spiritual growth, better relationships, perhaps better physical health, maybe all of the above. Whatever it is, there are numbers of limiting stories that keep people stuck based on the ego and a false sense of separation. So what is helpful for us to discuss now is the concept of absolute and relative truth. Now, those of you who are familiar with Eastern philosophy, Buddhism, Hinduism, maybe you are a yoga practitioner, or maybe you are someone that practices the A Course in Miracles, maybe some other type of spiritual system that talks about absolute and relative. You may be familiar with this. If you are not, then let's talk about it now and how this is helpful for doing the inner work, because it is. This is a very, very helpful concept for doing the inner work. Often in the world, we're confused. We've all been existentially confused at one time or another, and that's part of the reason why we're listening to this show. And you may relate to that if you're listening right now. Absolute and relative truth comes from Eastern philosophy, and it's directly relevant whatever type of spiritual tradition you practice. It doesn't make any difference. This applies across the board, and it's actually, in concept, very simple. In practice, that is where things tend to get complicated, and I will just share that we are the ones that make the complications, all of them unnecessarily. However, let's give ourselves some serious grace on this, because given our habitual tendencies, given our past conditioning, until we work on that and with that, it is inevitable that we're going to stumble, isn't it? It's inevitable that we're going to make mistakes and get in our own way. So forgiveness and giving ourselves a ton of grace is essential. So in concept, it is simple, as I've mentioned. In life, either you're changing or you're not. Either you're changing or you're not. Either you are transforming or you are not. Either you are moving or you're staying still. And really, there's no staying still physically, actually, because in basic physics, everything is actually in motion. Some things just at a much slower rate, like a table or a chair, or the floor that you stand or sit on, luckily, is moving at a much slower rate than your own human body, or a bird that may fly by, or a cloud, something like that. Either you're changing or you're not. In other words, something's either true or it's not. It's one or the other. Either you're listening to the voice of love or you're listening to the voice of fear. Which is it? Could vary from time to time, but every moment we have a choice. Either you're changing or you're not. And in absolute and relative truth, as a helpful concept, something is either true or it isn't. So here are the basics. Absolute truth refers to what is. Simply, in Eastern philosophy, this is often referred to the nature of mind. If you practice Buddhism, you may have heard that term. The ground of all being is another way that Eastern philosophy refers to absolute truth. In other words, what is foundationally, just what is. And in Western terminology, we have many, many names for this. God is one, and people may call this spirit. They may call it source, the universe, divinity, your higher self. So whichever term you wish to use, maybe you want to use all of them. Absolute truth is just that. It's God. It's the ground of all being. It's spirit, source, the universe, the foundation of what is. Relative truth is our experience in the world. It's what we think we are. And I invite you to go back and listen to last week's show about the ego. Because either you're listening to the voice of your higher self, your divinity, or you're listening to the voice of the ego, as in separation. Relative truth is governed by a sense of separation. Absolute is what is, relative is what we think we are. So what do we think we are? Well, if you stop to think about it, and I understand that most of us in our day-to-day lives, our busy lives, don't stop to think about this. So we think that we are running around as separately existing entities. Encased in a body, we are taught from a very young age to associate ourselves with the physical body, which of course can produce terror in any inquisitive child. I can relate to this personally when I would ask adults about, okay, what happens to your mind when you die? Now, I didn't get any substantial answers to that question until I became a young adult. But we think that we're running around as separately existing bodies and often competing for what we deem to be scarce resources. And this is the world of relative truth. In this world, people have varying experiences. We have different experiences. We see certain things, certain objects, items, call them whatever you will, and everybody has a different perception of that. For example, you may love fresh roasted peanuts with a little salt. You may love the aroma, and someone else sitting next to you could be deathly allergic. Totally different experience of the same thing. And you may be a biologist. You may be a herpetologist who loves reptiles and thinks a snake, a poisonous snake with beautiful markings, is gorgeous and a fantastic specimen of this species, and another person thinks it's disgusting and is terrified. Just an example. Yeah, the peanut analogy is one that I like to use because what is, in relative truth, what is beautiful and luxurious to one person is repulsive and possibly life-threatening to another. There's a grade of experience in there. And all of our senses, especially the physical senses, support this. They seem to support the sense of a separate existence because bodies look separate. Some people are short, some are tall, some are thin, some are not thin. Some people are bald, some people are not. Some people have gray hair or graying hair, and other people have their natural color. Some people have dyed their hair purple. People appear to look different. And our experiences also seem distinct. What causes one person happiness, as we just have explored, can cause another person sadness, grief, or even despair. And in this relative truth, in this world, we experience a world of variance and gradation. In other words, we classify things and divide and subdivide things into component parts. We're actually really good at this, at separating our experience and placing labels on the degrees of our experience. Let's say, for example, our emotional experience. And as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, either you are listening to the voice of love or listening to the voice of fear. And to recap, if you are listening to the voice of fear, you may be experiencing any number of terms that we use in conventional language, such as anxiety, maybe depression, sadness, grief, a sense of lack, right? Frustration is a big one, and a sense of helplessness. A helplessness in the face of change, helplessness in the face of world affairs, global pandemics, canceled vacations, canceled sporting events, you name it. A sense of not being able to control things can be very stressful, and stress itself is a manifestation of listening to the voice of fear. Now, listening to love, on the other hand, happiness, contentment, a sense of purpose, joy, laughter, exuberance, you name it. But we have all of these terms, and we have in our minds and in our spoken word different degrees for all of these emotions. And everything that we label here in the world, if you really stop to think about it, which most people do not ever do, if you really stop to think about a lot of our names for things, they're very artificial, aren't they? They're made up. So where did the term Wednesday come from? And what differentiates Wednesday from Thursday? What's a day? And think about it. What's a meter, actually? Someone made that up. What's a centimeter? Somebody made that up. All of the terms that we use are terms that were made up by a human being to describe something. And we could have called them anything else, but here's what we are. And again, everything is a label, and we label it. When what one person adores, again, another person really hates or detests. And in this world of labels and varying experiences, it's very easy for us as human beings to become confused. And in that state of confusion, wondering just what in the world all of this actually means, conflict is inevitable. It's going to arise because we are running around in our ego state thinking we are separate, thinking we exist separately and completely independently of everyone else, and it's every man or woman for themselves. We're all out to get what we presume to be a limited share of this universal pie, whatever that even looks like or means. We often, all too often, perceive ourselves as lacking. And we perceive ourselves in competition for what we think are limited resources. And you better get yours before somebody else gets it. And that's what we think. So it's inevitable that conflict is going to ensue, because what happens in relative truth is we all have a tendency to believe that we, individually, are right. Classic ego. I'm right, you're wrong. How could it be otherwise? And that may sound harsh, but that is the way that we all too often think. And it's habitual. Doesn't have to be that way, but it is habit. And conflict can ensue because everyone believes that they are right. And we spend our time defining and defending personal territory. This is a concept that's very important because this defines our existence here in the world. Is we are defining personal territory. This is mine. For example, my body, right? My life, my house. As children, this toy that we are playing with is mine, my toy, mine. And we have to be told to share our toys. And sometimes some of us have to be reminded again and again and scolded and even yelled at sometimes. Sometimes people have to get our attention to get us to share. And is that really any different as an adult? Could be if you learn the lessons, but not necessarily. If you don't learn them, it's the same. Everybody believes they're right, and we define and defend our personal territory. When someone disagrees with us, we become stressed to one degree or another. Sometimes, you may know people in your own life that get extremely stressed and hostile and defensive and seem to have this need to attack and lash out if you don't agree with them or if you express a different point of view. All of it relative truth, because there are differences. This is the world of differences as things appear to be. So, being that politics are always in the news, wherever you are in the world, whether you are in Europe, the United States, Asia, Africa, Australia, doesn't make any difference. There are always disagreements in the political arena. And it seems with mass media that those are exacerbated. And I'm speaking to you here from Arizona in the United States, where things are extremely polarized these days. And they were always tense, I think, but modernly, people are very, very hyped up. And whatever side you come down on, including I stay as far away from it as I possibly can, okay, even that, if that's your position, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that people are hyperpolarized. This is a classic example of defining and defending personal territory, where you see so many people that are unwilling to even entertain a different point of view and unwilling to even speak to someone else that believes differently than they do. And this could be a family member. This could be your next door neighbor. People are very quick, obviously, to demonize one another or another group as dead wrong and define and defend, and the mass media allows us to consume, if we want to, just the media, just the material that validates our own point of view. The sense of dialogue is not gone by any stretch, but it has diminished. The sense of community is not gone, again, not by any stretch, but it is diminished the more people just dig in to their own point of view. This is classic ego playing out, and it's classic relative truth, defining and defending personal territory, which can lead, obviously, to disagreements, and in extreme examples, it can lead to international conflict, even war. This is where we can find ourselves in relative truth. Now, does it have to get there? No, it does not. And on the other side of the break here, I will explain how we can get from the relative back to where we want to be. So it does not have to be all conflict and fear. Let's resonate with that. We'll be right back in a few minutes here on Om Times Radio.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, host of Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. Thank you for listening. You know, there's only so much we can cover on a one-hour show. If you'd like to hear further from me, I happily offer personalized teachings. Get your very own voice recording or book a one-on-one consultation. Ask a burning question and gain clarity on achieving massive transformation in your life. Details available on my website, TomasGarza.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Decide to Transform. I'm your host, Tomas Garza, and I'm delighted that you're joining me today as we talk about the two truths, absolute and relative, and we have been through actually here in the last 20 minutes, some of the characteristics of relative truth. Now, if you harken back to last week's show, some of the characteristics of our adherence to the psychological construct of the ego, of me, 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 mine, 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 not yours, mine. I'm going to get my share because I'm opposed to you, competition, stress, and as we talked about just on the other side of the break, hyperpolarity in the political and social arena, which affects the entire world. It's not just the United States, obviously, that I'm talking about. We just happen to have quite an example of it on display worldwide. So, how do we get from where we are with a world of conflict and fear to a world of peace? A more peaceful scenario, to follow along with the metaphor of the bridge from earlier in the broadcast. How do we get from where we are, stuck, apparently stuck in our house on the couch, to the other side of the bridge, living the life that we desire, a peaceful life, a happy life, an abundant and joyous life, where we're living our purpose, where we are being who we're meant to be, when we've answered the call and stepped into our purpose, where we're owning who we really are, in other words, our divinity. I can't stress that enough. Owning our divinity. How do we get there? How do we get from this conflict-ridden state to a state where that lessens and lessens and lessens until it is gone? Because it is possible. So we get there through absolute truth, which always is, always has been, and always will be, independent of all of the world's fluctuations, independent of all of our individual lifetimes, independent of all of our great deeds, bad deeds, our mistakes. It simply is and is unaffected by all of this variance and change. That is how we get to where we want to go, is by going within and working on ourselves. We cannot snap our fingers and make the world a beautiful, peaceful place where everyone has enough, where everybody enjoys the abundance that they want. It's not going to happen by waving a magic wand. Each of us is responsible for creating that change in our own minds by going inward, because the absolute truth is love and the relative truth is fear. Are you choosing love or are you choosing fear? That's a theme of this month on the show, but of course it is also the theme of spiritual practice in general. Are you choosing love or are you choosing fear? Which is it? Because it's one or the other. It is literally one or the other. And in any given moment, you have something very precious. And I want you to pay attention to this. If you listen to nothing else on this broadcast, you have the opportunity to choose again. Right now, you have the opportunity to choose love over fear. You can choose joy over sorrow. You can do that, and you have the opportunity right now. That is why so many spiritual traditions insist that the present moment is so precious. It's quite literally all we have, and we have the opportunity. We get to, not we have to, but we get to choose. We get to decide. And if you choose love once, you're that much more likely to choose it again and again and again and again. Similarly, if you choose fear once, you are that much more likely to choose fear again, 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 and go down a path that is not pleasant and that everyone, whether they care to admit it or not, wants to escape. Because the pull of absolute truth, the pull of who you are, your own divinity, God, source, spirit, the nature of mind, goddess, you name it, that pull is too great to ultimately resist. And you will seek to cross the bridge, and all of your stuff, and I invite you, please, to use another word for stuff. I will give you a quick hint. I'm not going to say it on the air, but it starts with an S. All of your stuff is going to come up for release. So it's not a smooth journey, but you have the tools there. This is where you turn for answers to the absolute. And how do you do that? Well, if you have a spiritual tradition that you are familiar with and that speaks to you, that you resonate with, that's very important, then I invite you to go deeper in that. If that's Christianity for you, go deeper in it, if you're comfortable with it. If it's Buddhism, go deeper in it. If it is not a specific religion, but universal, general spirituality, go deeper with it. And if you're searching for a tradition, the most basic essence, to choose love over fear. This will happen for you if you decide to do it and you commit to doing it. Committing to a practice, whatever it is, and if you need to find that practice, then by all means, seek it and find it. Because if you really genuinely seek it, you will find what resonates with you. That's the way it works. Commit to that, whatever it is, and it will open up some space and begin to lighten you. And it will allow for this journey, the metaphorical journey across the bridge. It will allow for that and give you energy. If you need to get off the couch, it will give you energy to stand up. If you need to walk to the front door, it will give you the energy to put one foot in front of the other. Because it is a process. It is literally one step at a time. It will give you the energy to turn the handle on the door, open it, go out, and shut the door behind you. It will give you the energy to keep walking, especially when you don't want to. Because you will hear limiting stories, as we'll talk about next week on the show. You will hear voices in your head that say, turn back. Turn back, that couch is so comfortable. Ooh, your favorite program is on. Ooh, your favorite cable news channel's on. Yeah. Don't you want to go back? You will hear that voice. You will hear a voice of the ego. Realize questions from listeners, and I invite you to submit those to me. If we're connected on Facebook, that's Tomas Garza, you are more than welcome to leave me a message on Messenger, or you may email me, certainly email me, tomas@tomasgarza.com. Now, it's frequent that people will put an H in my first name. That is not the case. It is T-O-M-A-S without the H. This is the Spanish variety. Tomas@tomasgarza.com is my email, and a number of you have chosen to email me questions, and I really appreciate those. I'd like to read one of them here while we still have a few more minutes on the show. Now, some of them come from specific people. Some of them that I do read on the air are general questions that people have asked me in various capacities in my life, in my professional life as a former college professor of conflict resolution, mind you. I've dealt with a lot of relative truth, let's just say. And also in my capacity as a spiritual teacher, as a healer, as an energy healer, I get questions all the time. And this is a really good one. So I'd like to take the time that remains to us here this week on the show to answer this. And this is a general question that's come from a number of people over the years. And it's a good one. And it says, how am I ever going to be able to arrive at the place where I'm experiencing physical reality as not real? Okay, how am I going to arrive at the place where all of the world and relative seems distant and even impossible, far-fetched at best, and along? You don't have to constantly have this thought in mind. In fact, when the world comes at you, when jobs come at you, when bills come at you, when screaming kids come at you, when someone cuts you off on the freeway, it's not like you always have to have front and center, top of mind, the fact that none of this is really happening. Because it appears to be happening, and yes, if someone cuts you off on the freeway, you must brake, or you must avoid them, or you must slow down. Can't get in an accident, right? Because we must preserve these communication mechanisms as long as we possibly can, because there are people out there that need us to cross the bridge. Very important. There are people out there that need us to bring our higher selves to the table and extend love, in whatever form that may look like for you. So what you can do is you can live and function in the world while not believing that it's real and believing that there is something more out there. This is totally possible. It's something that I do every day. It's something that a number of people do all the time. I'm not alone by any stretch. Just know that there is a higher self, that there is a higher power, that you are capable of so much more than you're currently doing. And you may feel like you're doing a lot. You can do more. We can all do more, every single one of us. So what we do is we do the inner work, and what will happen is gradually signs will appear that we're making progress. We may experience a number of synchronicities, for example. And even if you don't experience those, you may begin to feel differently. You may begin to feel lighter, for example. If you had been carrying a heavy psychological burden over time and with practice, you may feel that lessen or even disappear. This is something that I can help people with as a healer, is lessening a burden and giving relief, not necessarily on a physical level, but on a mental, emotional, psychological, and spiritual level. That's what begins to happen, and your behavior may change, your outer behavior may change. These things can begin to happen, and they're signs that you're doing the right thing. They're signs that you've gotten off the metaphorical couch and started walking toward the bridge, and you may even be in the process of crossing it. And what I want to stress, lastly, is that this is a process, and I want to implore you, wherever you find yourself on your own spiritual path, in your own walk, so to speak, please have patience with yourself and give yourself some grace, because you're going to hear all of these ego voices and you're going to hear the limiting stories that we'll talk about next week. And you don't have to believe them. So I thank you for tuning in this week. You've been listening to Decide to Transform on Om Times Radio. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll see you back next Tuesday, 1 Eastern.